Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Mario Cajar. Today I'll be reading from Dogster Magazine, Whole Dog Journal, the Chewy website, and the Connecticut Humane Society website. The first article is written by Pat Miller and is titled, On Target Training. There's a behavior that we never used to teach in old-fashioned training classes that is now one of my absolute favorites. I can't wait to introduce my students to targeting, teaching their dogs to touch a designated part of their bodies to a specific object or place. It's not only an amazingly useful behavior, but also fun and easy to teach, and most dogs love it. I can't imagine how we ever got along without it. We usually start with nose targeting, because dogs tend to investigate with their noses, making a nose touch an easy behavior to prompt and capture. If you offer the palm of your hand to your dog with your fingers pointed towards the floor, most dogs will stretch forward and sniff it. Mark, that means click a clicker or use a verbal marker such as the word yes, and give your dog a treat, and you're on your way. If your dog needs a little encouragement, you can rub a bit of a tasty treat on your hand, and when she sniffs it, mark and treat. Most dogs learn to touch the offered palm within just a few tries. As with all behaviors we teach, as soon as you can predict that your dog is going to touch your palm with his nose when you offer it, begin using the verbal cue. I use touch. Note that if she already thinks an open palm is the cue to offer her paw to you for a shake, then you can offer a closed fist or two fingers in place of the open palm. If you happen to have a dog who is very pawsy, meaning he or she likes to use their feet, teaching to step on a talking button is likely going to be a breeze. She might just smack that button with her paw when you put it on the floor, and you can just capture this foot targeting by marking and reinforcing her randomly offered paw at the button. The training technique known as shaping often works best to teach your dog to target with other body parts. To shape a behavior, you mark and reinforce progressively closer approximations of the behavior you actually want. To shape a dog to touch a talking button with his paw, you would set the button on the floor and mark and reinforce, feed a treat, each time he takes a step toward it, or even if he merely moves a front foot. As he begins to realize he's getting reinforced for foot movement, he'll start to move his paw on purpose, and you'll be able to shape him to touch his foot to the button or anything else you have in mind. If you want him to target with other body parts, say a shoulder or a hip, shape it the same way. Mark and treat any movement with that body part until he's deliberately moving it, then shape for targeting. Here are just a few things you can do with your dog's targeting behavior. First, some uses for nose targeting. 1. Positioning your dog. You can use nose targeting to invite your dog onto the walk-on scale at your veterinary clinic, into your vehicle, through a doorway, out of your path, onto the sofa. The list is endless. Teach tricks. Kai, our Kelpie, will leap 5 feet in the air to target to my hand and weave through my legs, targeting to a hand on each side as he passes through. I also used a hand target to teach my dog Bonnie to open a picnic basket with her nose. 3. Perform household behaviors. Your dog can close or open drawers with her nose and use touch-on, touch-off features of lamps or push-button dial 911 in an emergency. 4. Decrease fear. If your dog is worried about something but loves targeting, you can ask her to touch your hand as you move past or away from the aversive object or person. This focuses her attention toward you and helps the emotional part of her brain shift from, oh, scary person, to, yay, targeting. 5. Call your dog to you. If your dog loves targeting but is a little, nah, about his recall cue, try asking him to touch when you want him to come to you. He has to come to you to touch your palm. 6. Move your dog away from you. Teach her to target to a cottage cheese lid, then tape the lid to a wall and ask her to target to it. Gradually send her across the room to her lid target from farther and farther away. Here are some things you can do with foot targeting. First is touching buttons. Your dog can foot target to talking buttons as part of a fun routine. There are also light buttons that he can turn on and off with a tap of his paw. Next is communication. My corgi, Lucy, used a paw touch to my foot to signal me she had found an odor, her alert, when we were doing scent work. Your dog could touch you with a paw as his cue to ask to go outside, or use her paw or nose to ring a bell or buzzer as her bathroom ask. Agility. An important skill in the sport of agility is making sure your dog hits the contact zones at the end of obstacles. This is often accomplished by teaching the dog to hind foot target to the contact zone. Now for targeting with other body parts. Target an ear toward you or your veterinarian for a physical examination or for an application of ear cleaner or some kind of medication. Target an open mouth to a metal bar for mouth exam or tooth cleaning. I actually saw a bear who was taught to do this at the Taronga Zoo in Australia. Target the dog's chin to a rolled-up towel on a chair for cooperative care procedures. And you can target a hip to a target stick to teach a pivot. These examples are just a few. Actually, we've only touched the surface of the versatility and variety of potential applications for targeting. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. The next article is written by Arden Moore, and it's titled, Dogs of Tomorrow. There's never been a better time to be a dog, but the news gets even better. That's because life for canines through the next decade is expected to be even greater on many fronts. At least that's the consensus among some of the world's top pet experts. Dogster surveyed their takes on everything from medical breakthroughs to new animal shelter missions to home life to innovative dog training classes. There's no doubt that this pandemic sparked more innovation in animal health care and a greater embrace of pets truly being part of our families, says Dr. Courtney Campbell, a board-certified veterinary surgeon and executive creative director of VetCandy, myvetcandy.com. Here are some crystal ball canine predictions expected to be in place by the next decade. First is genetic testing. Everyone's doing it. With advances in technology, the Morris Animal Foundation is funding more genetic studies on dogs and sees genetic testing becoming routine and affordable, says Dr. Kelly Deal, internal medicine veterinarian and senior director of science and communications for MAF. Technology is only getting faster, less expensive, and more reliable, says Dr. Deal. Genetic testing will give us more answers about certain genetic diseases. We're getting a lot more proposals on genetics than ever before. Look for continued efforts to standardize genetic tests worldwide to better treat all dogs, purebred and mixed breeds, from such conditions as epilepsy, exercise-induced collapse, or EIC, and degenerative myelopathy, adds Dr. Mary O. Smith, vice chair of the American Kennel Club Canine Health Foundation. A big concern in the future is emerging diseases, says Dr. Smith. There's a big impetus to rescue dogs internationally, but we need better ways to ensure that the dogs we bring from other countries do not bring in unexpected diseases that could impact the health of dogs and of people. We are sponsoring work in the United States and all over the world on this issue. Next is online vet consultations. Due to health mandates during the pandemic, many people parked in veterinary clinic parking lots waiting for cell phone calls from veterinarians to share news about their dogs inside exam rooms. Look for more FaceTime with your veterinarian, but maybe not in the exam room. Telehealth medicine is definitely here to stay and will change how we practice veterinary medicine in a major way, says Dr. Deal. Look for more behavior consultations, health follow-ups, and much more to be done via telehealth instead of a phone call or making an in-person appointment. In 2020, at the height of the pandemic, Many people sought answers about their pet's health from AirVet, a veterinarian staff telehealth site led by Dr. Jeff Werber. And last summer, a new veterinary telehealth company arrived called Dutch, founded by Joe Spector with the goal to connect pet parents directly with licensed veterinarians to treat chronic conditions. Its website is Dutch.com. However, note that today some states are still clarifying their veterinary telemedicine parameters. How about dishing up science-based nutrition? Plain old kibble is so yesterday. Make way for plant-based proteins, fresh from the fridge prepared meals and chow, packed with probiotics, prebiotics, and supplements. In his breakthrough book, The Clean Pet Food Revolution, Dr. Ernie Ward identifies that more dogs will be eating alternative proteins from plants, fungi, insects, and cell-based meat products. I definitely see a major trend that emphasizes more science in pet foods and more foods that are designed to treat specific diseases, adds Dr. Campbell. CBD stays in the spotlight. CBD also has a bright future as more studies analyze the real benefits of cannabidiol oil when given to dogs in foods and treats. AKC Health Foundation is sponsoring an ongoing study led by Dr. Stephanie McGrath at Colorado State University on using CBD oil to control epilepsy in dogs. By 2031, CBD may not be the miracle drug, but it may be used for seizure control in dogs and for joint pain relief, much as we do now with glucosamine and chondroitin, says Dr. Deal. I think CBD will be with us for a long time, and we will know better how it works on pets and on us. Dog collars get high-tech. A major push is underway for wearable technology that goes beyond tracking down a dog's location in real time. Research continues to perfect devices clipped on collars that can help clue people in about their dog's activities and behavior patterns, and even dispense time-released medicine in affordable and more accurate ways. I see a continued rise in wearable technologies for pets, from heart rate monitors to ones that measure temperature and activity levels, to healthcare monitoring kits that use artificial intelligence to predict early stages of diseases like arthritis and diabetes in dogs. Instead of having to poke your diabetic dog, you'll be able to check his glucose levels through a reading on your phone, says Dr. Campbell. Tomorrow's shelters shift focus. When COVID-19 struck, many were forced to work from home. That triggered people to adopt or foster dogs in record numbers from shelters. This is the perfect time for shelters to pivot their purposes. That's the belief of Dr. Gary Weitzman, president of the San Diego Humane Society. I definitely see a new focus on shelters to find ways that allow people to keep their pets in their homes by providing affordable veterinary services, he says. I'm talking wellness, vaccinations, deworming and microchipping being done, as well as more mobile units out in the community to deliver food and supplies to those in need so that they can keep their pets and not surrender them due to financial hardships. Why, I even see microchip identification scanners at every fire station so people can bring lost pets to one of the friendliest places on earth to be scanned quickly for identification and hopefully to reunite pets with their pet parents. Rich Anderson, president of the Peggy Adams Animal Rescue League in West Palm Beach, Florida, hopes that animal shelters will transform from being places for abandoned or lost animals to major community leaders in animal welfare. Adoption and foster programs have become so successful that more attention and resources are being able to shift towards programs meant to prevent animals from entering shelters in the first place, says Rich. Our safety net programs that offer affordable and free veterinary care and our free pet food pantry continue to be expanded. Home becomes a calming zone. Becky LaBeach, general manager of Dog TV, doesn't think it's too far-fetched to have calming canine pheromones emitting from your TV to help home-alone dogs feel safe and calm. She also sees more content on TV and apps that will help relax rambunctious puppies and stimulate the hearing and seeing senses in aging dogs. She predicts more people shopping for homes that include mudrooms with doggy shower areas and indoor canine play areas, as well as stylish wooden doggy nap spots to replace those ugly metal crates currently parked in living rooms. I can see this luxury crate on wheels that a person can push under the stairway when not in use and rolled out when it's ready for their dogs, she adds. And when your dog does join you on a trip, expect more Airbnb, Vrbo, and other vacation rentals to put out the welcome mat to accommodate the increase in people looking for pet-friendly getaways. Your dog finally talks back. For far too long, we've relied on the I talk, you listen, and comply style of communicating with our canines. We may marvel when our dogs know how to actually pick up the requested toy or understand when we say car ride or want a treat. The dogs of the next decade will demonstrate new ways to engage in two-way talk with us and to share their feelings and needs better, thanks to pioneering efforts by such people as speech therapist Christina Hunger. Applying what she calls AAC, Augmentative and Alternative Communication, she has enabled her dog Stella to talk to her. Stella is a Catahoula Blue Heeler mix who Christina has trained to have her press speech buttons to communicate key words such as outside, play, water, and even I love you. As depicted in her book, How Stella Learned to Talk, Christina was able to train 3-year-old Stella to even string together a series of words such as Christina, come play, love you. Get schooled in a whole new way. Puppies and newly adopted dogs all benefit by taking basic obedience classes to learn good canine manners. But professional dog training is undergoing a major evolution. There's been a big growth in activities that directly benefit the dog, such as nose work, barn hunt, and dock diving, says Maureen Payton, co-founder of What a Great Dog in Frisco and in Richardson, Texas. The training world is talking more about consent from the animal and in finding out what activities the dogs would enjoy. I also see a trend in dog trainers seeking science-based education and professional certifications in larger numbers. And all of that promises to be very good for people and their dogs. And finally, meet your AI doggy. A segment of dog advocates may feel unable to adopt a real dog due to work commitments, allergies, or other issues. However, that doesn't diminish their love or need for canine companionship. Work is now underway at places like Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton to create robo-pets that don't need to be fed, taken for walks, or given medication. The current test dog is called Astro, in honor of the dog from the Jetsons, the famous space age cartoon of the 1960s. Robotic dogs eventually may even serve as the ultimate canine protector and trusted companion. The experience people have had with our prototype Astro feels like he is a sentient being, says Dr. Elon Barinholtz, associate professor of psychology and co-director of FAU's robotics lab. People will definitely develop emotional connections with robo-pets. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. The next article is written by Linda Rogers, and it's called Bringing a New Cat Home. Here's everything you need to know. So you've decided to add a cat to your family. Congratulations! Whether you're just starting to browse available cat profiles online or you're on your way to pick up your new furry friend, your new pet parenting adventure is just beginning. As you prepare for bringing your new cat home, there are a few tips you can follow to start things off on the right foot, or paw. Before bringing a new cat home, before you walk through your front door with your new kitty, there's one thing you should do. Book an appointment with a vet if you don't already have one, says Dr. Katie J. Nelson, Senior Veterinary Relations Manager for the Chewy website and a vet at Belhaven Animal Medical Center in Alexandria, Virginia. That's right. Your first visit to your vet's office should take place before you actually have your pet. And here's why. A veterinarian can help you keep the joy and cut the stress of adopting or buying a cat, she says. Though it might seem backward to choose a vet before a pet, you'll want to know who to call for medical advice on day one of your cat parenting journey. Your vet can recommend the right type of food and other supplies and act as a reassuring sounding board if your pet hits a few speed bumps on their way to becoming part of your family. Get recommendations from friends and family And if you can, get a tour of the offices so you can get a feel for the flow there. You'll also want to save the address and phone number of your nearest 24-hour emergency vet. Whether you post it on your refrigerator or save it in your phone, your future self will thank you if disaster strikes at 2 a.m. Now here's some new cat supplies you're going to need. Cats don't require as much stuff as their two-legged parents, but they still need plenty of gear, from food to toys to items that can make your new pet's life much more comfy. One must-have is a pet carrier. Dr. Nelson likes the ones with a detachable or zip-out top, such as the Sherpa Original Deluxe Dog and Cat Carrier Bag. We all know that if you've got your carrier out in the garage and you only bring it inside when you're going to capture your cat and stuff him in it to go get poked with needles, it's got some pretty bad associations, she explains. But if you look into one that has a detachable top, it becomes a piece of regular furniture. The cat sleeps on it or hangs out in it. It can be a lot less stressful that way when it's time to go to the veterinarian. Other essentials that Dr. Nelson recommends include a breakaway cat collar with ID tags, bowls for food and water, litter box and litter. Some cats are particular about the type of litter that they use. Some love the crystals, some love the clumping or the newspaper type, so have a few samples on hand so you can figure out which ones they like best, says Dr. Nelson. Scratchers. I typically have seen success with either the cardboard ones that have all the little layers built into them, or the sisal rope ones, notes Dr. Nelson. Again, it's going to kind of depend on the cat's preference, just because they will like some different textures. Grooming supplies, including clippers, a kitty toothbrush and toothpaste, and cotton balls and an ear cleanser, like Odi-Rinse cleansing and drying solution. And a comfy bed, even though you know your kitty is going to be snuggling up on your bed. Now let's talk about prepping your home for your new pet. As any cat parent will tell you, felines are experts at getting into mischief. That means cat-proofing your home should be high on your bringing a new cat home to-do list. The best way to start, says Dr. Nelson, is to get on your hands and knees and crawl around each room, seeing every object from your pet's perspective. Look under the beds, the couch, the chairs, she says. While you're down there, scan for anything that could be potentially dangerous to your cat. Electrical cords are some of the most common offenders. Cats often find them appealing to chew on, which puts them at serious risk of electrical shock. Secure the cords to the baseboards or disguise them to remove the temptation. Look out for any easy-to-reach substances that might be poisonous to your pet as well. The number one thing that pets are poisoned by every year are human medications, says Dr. Nelson. Cleaning products can also be dangerous to cats. Lock them all up with a baby-proof lock or other secure fastener. Remember, cats will climb. And don't forget to check your houseplants to make sure that they're not toxic to cats either. Before bringing your new kitty home, block off any entrances to areas where cats might get trapped, like an attic or basement. I've seen cats many times that get stuck in the attic for 2 or 3 days at a time, and then we find him and he's terribly dehydrated and hungry, says Dr. Nelson. But that's not to say that cats won't need a place to hide. Sharon Meir, a certified animal behaviorist and trainer in New York City, and owner of the Manhattan-based practice Training Cats and Dogs, recommends placing platforms, shelves, or cat trees in areas where your new kitty might feel cornered. They give cats a better vantage point, she says, and can also help them feel more secure in their unfamiliar surroundings. And prepare for a long adjustment period. For most cats, coming into a new home is like landing on a new planet. They don't know anybody, says Meir. They don't know the sounds of where you live, and it can be terrifying. While kittens may be fearless and adjust pretty quickly, that probably won't be the case for an adult cat, she adds. They're probably going to hide for a couple of weeks, unless you've got an exceptional cat that's very extroverted, says Dr. Nelson. But most kitties, when they come into a new area, are going to try and find a place that they feel safe and where they can kind of keep their lookout. Common kitty hideouts include under the bed, a sofa, or in a closet. While your pet is getting the lay of the house, be patient, says Mir. Let your cat dictate when and how they approach you. To help speed up the process, Dr. Nelson says, spend time in her space so she gets to know you, what you smell like and the noises you make, and all the things about you that she's going to need to be accustomed to. You can also gently nudge things along with toys. You have to see what works for your cat, says Mir. I try everything from catnip to squishy toys with squeaky sounds. Sometimes I'll just sit on the floor at a distance and I'll have some treats. Even if your cat approaches you, refrain from reaching out your hand to pet them. Your cat probably just wants to smell you at first, says Mir. I knew when cats were ready to be touched when they would sort of butt my arm or leg with their head. Then I would pet them once or twice. Basically, you want to leave them wanting more. It gives them the space to feel more comfortable. Now, watch for warning signs. Cats who are simply taking their sweet time to adjust will still be eating, drinking, and using the litter box, says Dr. Nelson. But if you see these warning signs after bringing your new cat home, reach out to your vet. First, your cat isn't eating. Your cat isn't drinking. Your cat is throwing up. Or your cat has diarrhea. These can be signs of underlying medical conditions, says Dr. Nelson, so it's important to have your vet rule out any illnesses. And even if they're just signs of stress, your pet's vet may be able to recommend some kind of calming supplements or a plug-in diffuser like Feloway, which may help soothe your pet, she adds. Another kind of warning sign might be more dangerous for you than your cat, namely, when your cat hisses or takes a swipe at you when you approach. That's a sign that you're too close and your cat feels trapped, explains Mir. Again, that's when you want to back away and give them a chance. Toss treats, the highest value ones that you can, she advises. Her favorite, by the way, bits of sliced turkey or salmon. But again, it really comes down to patience. When your kitty finally does get acclimated and becomes a full-fledged member of your household, bump up the interaction. There's a misconception that you can just leave cats be, says Mir. That drives me crazy. Cats need attention. They need playtime. They need your company. And they'll let you know when they don't want you around. They'll move away. In all, bringing a new cat home can be an adventure with surprises around every turn. Every pet is different, and you might need to draw on your patience and persistence while your new furry friend adjusts. But remember, when your fur ball is purring on your lap, safe and sound and secure in their place in your family, it'll all be worth it. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. The next article is from the Connecticut Humane Society website and is titled, The Adoption Process. CHS, Connecticut Humane Society, is taking extra precautions to keep pets and the people who love them safe during COVID-19. CHS adoption counselors are eager to help you find the right match for your family. The first step is to submit an online application. Applications will be responded to in the order in which they're received, and you'll be contacted by phone if the pet you've applied for is still available. If the pet you've applied for is still available for adoption, an adoption counselor will call to speak with you by phone or video chat about what you're looking for in a pet, the animal you're interested in, the pet's personality, the pet's medical care, what to expect down the road, and more. If you and the pet are a match, you'll make an appointment to visit Connecticut Humane Society, complete your adoption paperwork, review the contract and documentation, and send you home with your new pet and a couple of freebies to get you started. It's easy to fall in love, but caring for a pet is a big commitment. Before you apply, make sure you're ready for the changes a pet will bring into your life, both today in the reality of COVID-19 and once your routine returns to normal. Now here are some general adoption guidelines. You must be 18 years of age or older. You must complete an online adoption questionnaire and take part in a conversation with a counselor. You need to show a valid driver's license or state or federal photo ID with your current address. You might be asked to provide landlord approval or proof of ownership. You can avoid any inconvenience by bringing this paperwork along to the adoption. Adopting a pet impacts the entire household, so any children under 18, other family members, and family dogs living in the home may also be required to come meet the new pet. CHS does not authorize giving pets as gifts. The person who will be the owner of the new pet must be present and complete the adoption process. Gift certificates are available as an option to give the gift of adoption. Finally, you must read, sign, and abide by a legal adoption agreement. While Connecticut Humane Society tries to make the adoption process smooth, the adoption process isn't necessarily a quick one, and it might require more than just one visit. Just remember, it's time well spent. After all, it's for your new family member. Now, here are some additional COVID-19 guidelines. Connecticut Humane Society asks that no more than two members of a household visit for the adoption visit. Only credit or debit cards will be accepted as adoption fee payment. Pets cannot be put on hold for pickup at another time. Plan to take the pet home with you on the day of your appointment if your meeting goes well. And finally, visitors at the adoption appointment must wash their hands upon entering the building, maintain a 6-foot social distance from CHS staff, and agree to other COVID-19 safety protocols for the protection of themselves and the staff. And that's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack on Chris. I've been reading from Dogster Magazine, Whole Dog Journal, Chewy website, and the Connecticut Humane Society website. I'm Mario Cahar. So long till next time.